Great to be together. I am so sad that I missed Jeremy's seminar this weekend on the Gospels. I was in Nashville in class, and we have to pray. Let's just pray real quick. You don't know what you're praying, but you prayed with me there. Because he's done that seminar a couple of times, and there was some mistakes made with the recording. It didn't turn out right yesterday. So pray, pray, pray that somebody else that he did that same workshop for recorded it so we could steal the recordings and put them up and tell everybody that it was done here. Remember, if it's on the internet, you can steal it and it's fine. You don't have to tell anybody. And you can say that it was your idea all along. No, I am grateful that he came down, and I've heard from many, many people, please have him back. Please have him back. He's only 23 years old. I don't know if you know. Just kidding. How old are you?
36.
We have some cool things in common because my dad's an elder, his dad's an elder from Chicago. He's in the ministry in Chicago, so our paths have crossed many times. I'm really proud of him. He's got his MDiv. You know what that is? Masters of Divinity. And that is, some people think, oh, Bible degree. Let me just tell you. That is a very difficult degree to get. Those languages are tough, and so I'm really grateful that we have him so close. I felt humbly and honestly shared with you some of my sin earlier this year when I missed Valentine's Day. Do you remember that? It was rough. I shared that openly. I paid the price for that, right? And as a gift to you, I'd like you to watch this video to help you out.
Hello, husbands. Hello, dads. Listen, it is almost Mother's Day, so you need to get on the stick and make sure her day is perfect.
All right, now you're just talking down to the dads. We know it's a very special day.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you?
We do.
If I had a dime for every one of my special days you forgot, I would wake up. Maybe the kids would make me breakfast, no? Maybe I would get a card that said something like, forget your special day? No way.
All right, here we go.
Or maybe a song.
You want me to round up the kids and write you up a little ditty?
Well, I know for a fact that Rose Grosenkrantz every year gets a special song from her little babushkas.
All right. Rose writes those songs for her little babushkas. They have no say-so in the matter.
It doesn't matter. It's still a song. Ladies, wouldn't you love a special song?
All right, ladies, how about we take the kids to Target, we buy you some cards and some flowers. I'll even take you to Taco Tico for dinner. Won't that suffice?
I dreamed a dream of Mother's Day when hopes were high and my kids were more than willing.
You're seriously going to rewrite the words to Les Mis?
I dreamed my husband would fight for me. I dreamed that God would then forgive him.
That doesn't even rhyme.
It's my song.
All right. Dads, kids out there, this is your reminder to go out there and figure out how you can make Mother's Day a very special day for that beautiful lady in your life.
Bring me flowers, bring me candy.
Enough with the songs.
Say that you'll always love me, and you'll never let me go.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Oh, that's a song.
All right, I'm out of here.
And Jesus, take the wheel.
So don't forget Mother's Day. You have a week. Mother's Day, actually, it's very special for us because the 12th, this coming Mother's Day, is also my 22nd anniversary with my wife. If I forget that day. I'm very excited about this series. I've been excited about this series and what we're doing for months and months, actually. We're starting a new series entitled Reach, and it's reach up, reach in, and reach out. Today, we're going to talk about reaching up. Isn't that cool? We have some amazing artists in the church that do these logos and things for us. And I have I've thought about this, and you know, when it comes to sermon preparation, you know, there's all these stages you go through, and I thought, what am I going to do to really make reach up in our relationship with God, poignant and important. And I thought, gosh, I could pull in this scripture and I could pull in that scripture. And I thought, you know, Moses did a really good job of sharing some things. So let's just use Moses' outline. And so I had all this planned out. And then Jeremy got up here and did his communion message. And I thought, what are the odds, honestly, in a communion message of somebody going to Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 8? I mean, really, you have the whole Bible. You have the whole Bible, and you're doing a seminar on the Gospels. I thought I was safe, but no. So you can open up your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. My sermon's really short now. But before you could turn there, before you go there, I was thinking about God, and you have to go to the beginning. And in Genesis chapter 1, it just simply says, in the beginning, God created. I love that. Not even the whole sentence. I just love that I serve a creator God, the creator of all things. He's created. He's creative. He is all powerful. He's done it all. And before I even had an opportunity to reach up in my relation with him, he had to reach down. He had to create. And he made it all perfect. Adam and Eve, the garden, it was perfection. And it didn't take us long to mess that up. You know, you've got, you know, the story of Adam and Eve. That's the apple, or, you know, the fruit. And it's downhill from there for us. And their kids, they've got Cain and Abel. And it came time to sacrifice. And God told them what he wanted. And so they go to sacrifice. And Abel's sacrifice is very pleasing to the Lord. And Cain's isn't. But instead of being humble and saying, well, God, then what can I do? I really want to serve you. He didn't do that. He just goes and kills his brother. I mean, that's sin. That's rough. And this is in God's perfect place. His creation, his garden, his people. And we've talked about this over the months. There are these peaks and valleys, right, of God's people being obedient, God's people doing great, and they're climbing the mountain, and it's awesome. And then, poof, man, it's like sin, sin, sin. And we pretty much declared, if you weren't here, we declared it for you, for this generation anyway, we're not going to be the drifters. We're going to be the climbers. We're going to be the doers. We're going to be the ones that allow God to do whatever he wants through us. Amen? Okay. So, look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Through all of this, the ups and the downs and the drifting and the sin, the one thing that's constant is God's love. When they ate the fruit, he had to create, he had to discipline, and he had to help them to learn how to live righteously. When the Israelites sinned and they were enslaved, it was God's purpose for them to be enslaved. There was a lot of things that they needed to learn. And then when they cried out, it says that God heard their cries, and he brings them in the desert with Moses for 40 years. And here, as Jeremy already said, they're getting ready to cross the Jordan. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. And just like any father that's been preparing his kids, there's some last words you just need. I haven't had that, but there's going to be that time when it's just me and McCall and we're sitting down and say, okay, you're getting ready to go out. There's some parting words because I want her. I know I've been training, but gosh, I want her to be ready. And God here with his people through Moses in Deuteronomy 6, I'm going to jump around. We're going to read a bunch. I want to encourage you to read Deuteronomy 6 through 12 sometime this week. Great quiet times, okay? In verse 3 of chapter 6, "Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey." Why? "So that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you." He says, so, okay, the first thing, Israel, I want you to make sure that you obey. I want you to hear everything. I want you to pay close attention. I want you to obey. In verse 4, he reiterates, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Now, I've been, like I said, I've been thinking about this sermon. I've been thinking about this time, and I think, okay, what do we need more than anything? What do I need on a regular basis more than anything? As a church, what do we need? And I thought, well, God is awesome. We could talk about this attribute of God. We can talk about His sacrifice and His love, or what we need to do. We can go through a list of commands. But I thought, you know what I need more than anything? To be reminded of who I am. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This is not so much a declaration about God as it is a declaration about who we are. God is who He is. God is the Creator. "Hear, Shema, listen and obey, O Israel, the Lord our God." He is our God. This is who we serve. He is the one who pulled us out of slavery. He is the one who pulled us out of the pit of sin and despair. We are His people. You ever hear this from your parents, or you ever say to your kids, when they say, "Well, everybody else does it, why can't I?" Because you are a mantle. Because you are a whatever you are, whoever you are. Because our name means something, because we're not like everybody else. And I think as followers of Christ, we need to be reminded of who we are. It's not just a list of rules and stay away from this, don't go too close to the line, you're going to fall into the pit. No, I want to remind you that you're mine. I saved you. That I am your God. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." You know what helps remind me of who I am? When I talk about God when I wake up. When I talk about my Father when I'm walking down the street. When I'm thinking throughout the day, I need to teach my kids this part of God's character. That reminds me of who I am. And Moses here, God is saying through Moses, remember Him. Think about Him all day long. Sadly, you and I need reminders. Man, if I didn't have my phone to remind me of my schedule and help me not to double book things, if I didn't have on top of my schedule my wife that helps remind me of what I scheduled and not to double book things, I'd be in trouble. I need reminded. God knows that we need to be reminded. He says, here's what you do. You just think about me all day. In verse 13, "Fear the Lord your God and serve Him only. Take your oaths in His name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and His anger will burn against you. And He will destroy you from the face of this land." That's rough. He's serious. He says, listen, okay, I've saved you out of slavery. You were in sin. You've treated me this and you've treated me this way and that way, and it's been rough. But I continue to love. I continue to reclaim you. I've continued to save you. But you're getting ready to go into the promised land, and it's not an empty land. There's people there. You're going to drive them out. And they're worshiping false gods there. So I'm giving you a heads up. He's helping them. He's training them. He's teaching them how to deal with temptation that's right around the corner. And he says, when you go there, do not follow their gods. I am your God. We deal with the same thing today. You go to work, you go into your neighborhood, you go to school, and you are in the land of gods aplenty. They're everywhere, worshiping this, worshiping that. And we should take heed of this same command right here, because we're amongst false gods all day long. And he says, you need to remember me and stop following. Don't even be tempted to follow these gods. The God of money, the God of social status, the God of whatever. He says, you need to stay far away. I am jealous. In verse 18, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you. In verse 20, I love this because he says, in the future, when your son asks, hey, what's the meaning and the stipulations, decrees, and laws that Lord God commanded you? It's like when your kids say, why do I have to do what the Bible says, basically? What's so special about that? He goes on, he says, tell them who they are. Remind them of who they are. Tell them the story. He says, you guys got to see it with your eyes and they didn't. Make sure you tell them what you saw. Make sure you tell them where you were and how you had to live and what God saved you from. That helps me remember who I am. And it helps my kids to know who they are. Because they're not just mammals. They're God's chosen. We need to remember, you and I. Then if you skip down to verse 25, it says, and if we are careful to obey. Let me ask you this question. How careful are you to obey? You know, we can, if you're a task-oriented, life can become about bullet points and check marks. And I'm not totally down on that, because sometimes you need that. It's always right to obey, whether you feel like it in the moment or not. But there is a point here to be made that when I look at the law, I'm not just looking at words on a page that I legalistically have to obey. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm a chosen one. And I choose to love God. And I prove my love to God through careful obedience. Amen. I cannot obey if I don't know the law. Jeremy made that very clear. We need to know our Bibles. We need to be reading our Bibles. We need to drink it in. It needs to be who we are. And I need to carefully obey the commandments. And it says, then that will be our righteousness. What will? Careful obedience. And I love how, I love reading through the Old Testament, because it helps helps break me, us, in this generation to stop thinking about me, me, me all the time. It's me and God, me and God, me and God, me and God. I got my personal relationship with God, and me and God are good. And it says, doesn't say that will be your righteousness. It will be ours. We are the people of God. We are God's church. We are the body of Christ. We are His body here in St. Louis. It's not so much. So how are we doing? Are we careful to obey? How many of the commandments? All. Sorry. All. In chapter 7 and verse 1, when the Lord your God brings you into the land that you're entering to possess, and drives out before you many nations. Make no treaty with them. Show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Don't give your sons to them. Don't give your daughters to them. Why? Because it will take you away from me. They will steal you away from me. Their gods will tempt you away from me. Don't do it. God teaches us how to deal with temptation all the time. He's constantly doing it. You know why? Because he's sacrificed so much. He's gone through so much pain to win you back. He's gone through so much to win them back and to train them. Why does he constantly tell them to obey? Why does he teach them here about temptation? He doesn't want to lose them again. God is not up there with little chess pieces controlling the game. He's a father who's rescued his kids and doesn't want to lose them again. And here he's teaching them how to deal with these. In verse 5, he says, this is what you do when you go in. Break down their altars. Smash their sacred stones. Cut down their Asherah poles and burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people. His what? Treasured possession. He says, you're going to see all kinds of garbage when you get over there. And actually, it's probably going to appeal to you. It's going to look good. You know what I want you to do? Burn it all. Tear it down, break up their stones. They're nothing. It's stones and wood. How seriously do you take the temptations that are knocking on your door every day? Oh, I won't do that. I'm totally not going to fall into that temptation, but I'll just move it over here. But then you know what? It's still right there tomorrow. He says, I want you to tear it down. This is violent, what he's talking about here. It helps me to think, how violent am I in my heart when I deal with sin? How badly do I want to deal with that temptation? You cannot coddle temptation. It'll come right back to haunt you the next day. It'll be even stronger. God is teaching him. He's teaching us. In verse 7, the Lord did not set this affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest people, but it was because the Lord loved you. Treasured possession. He loved you. This is the kind of God I want to serve. This is the kind of father I want to have. And in verse 11, therefore, take care again. Remember, take care. How much care am I taking in following the commands and decrees that God has given me? All of them. Verse 12, if you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you. Not of control. Not his covenant of discipline and hard life. Holding you down. No, it's a covenant of love. As he swore to your forefathers, he will love you and bless you. Chapter 8 in verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase in number. When I looked at all these things, well, here in verse 2. This is what sums it all up for me. Remember. I think in this, what is God trying to tell me? What does he want from me? What does he want from us? And I think for this, it boils down to remember. Amen. What do moms want next Sunday? They want to be remembered. What do you want on your birthday? And I don't care what lies you tell everybody. I don't want my birthday celebrated. I don't want anybody to know. Liar. Everybody wants to be remembered. Right? And here's God the Father. And I think so much of Him in this, He's just looking down at Israel. He says, man, remember me. Don't forget. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way through the desert those 40 years to humble you, to test you in order to see what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. In verse 6, observe His command, the commands of the Lord your God, walking in His ways and revering Him. He wants to be remembered. He wants to be revered. In verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget. See Him is all the way through. You know why? Because we're easy to forget. And you know when you do something nice for somebody? And, you know, it's even that silence, or you don't even want them to know, but secretly inside you kind of want them to know. Gosh, who made me this delicious casserole? Oh, I don't know, but it looks good, right? Right? And here, God says, I've done all of this. Imagine you're God, and you have loved in spite of sin and rejection. Loved, loved, loved. I just want you to remember. If you would just remember me and remember who you are, you wouldn't be getting into all of this trouble. I would be able to bless you. He says, look at what he goes on in verse 11. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, His decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, ask yourself if this describes you. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God, who, by the way, brought you up out of Egypt. That's where our hearts go. When I forget to thank God for this meal. When I stop doing the little things, I forget to talk about Him when I wake up, when I walk along. When I forget all of those things and life starts to do good, oh, that must have been me that did that. I worked really hard for that. I got that and I did this and I got that and my heart gets proud. Now it's not, hey, look at all this great bounty that God has given me. It's look at all of my stuff that I worked so hard for. Well, let's look at where that stuff came from. He's the one who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert. Verse 16, He gave you manna to eat. Verse 17, you may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God. For it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. It's not yours. It's not mine. All good things come from God. And so He's reminding them, remember, remember, remember who you are. Remember where you came from. Remember what God saved you from. And remember who it is that gives you the strength and the ability to make and produce what you have. It's God. Now let's start to bring this to a close. In chapter 10 and verse 12. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God and to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today. Why? I love that He puts this in there. For your own good. Your dad ever tell you that? If you know what's good for you, you better do this if you know what's good for you. Except God does this and He has incredible promises. This theme of remember, not forgetting, it's all the way through. This theme of love and sacrifice. You know, God has sacrificed so much to bring you here. I got a Facebook message from somebody this last week that I didn't even know who it was at first. That's the thing about Facebook. You can get emails and texts from people, but this was somebody who obviously knew me, and it was somebody that was in the campus ministry with me all the way back in 88. I know, I don't look that old, right? This woman, Kim, said, "Hey, listen, I saw a Facebook posting that you put on somebody else's wall, and I just felt like I needed to tell you my story." And she said, "You know, you didn't know this, but when I became a Christian, before I became a Christian, I was..." What's the word she used? Satanically, ritually abused and severely sexually abused her whole young life. And I had no idea. And she just wanted to share about how awesome God is. She said, "My life has just been healing ever since." And it's one of those, I don't even know why I'm saying all of this, but I just thought you might want to know. And I do. I want to know all those God stories, because we've all got so much garbage in our past. We've been dealt. Satan has done so much to us. Other people have done so much. We've done so much to God. And God continues to look down. And He's the one. I, the title of the sermon is Reach Up. I don't know how high you have to reach when God's right here anyway. So I don't know if it's us reaching up or it's Him reaching down. But He's right there. And He sacrificed so much. And He saved her from so much. And it reminds me of how much He saved me and what He's done. It helps remind me of who I am. Who doesn't want to be a part of that family? Who doesn't want that dad? And He's called us. And He's called us. And He says in 2 Timothy, He says, He wants all men to be saved. All of us have been recruited. We've been saved and reconciled and recruited. And we're not just brought in so that we can take. He says, "Okay, now I'm sending you back out into that land that's full of all kinds of false gods. Don't serve them. But I'm sending you out there because they need to have what you have. They need to hear what I've given you." And REACH is an initiative that we're going to be a part of for the next 2 years, because we're all right here and we're growing and it's awesome to see what God is doing. But Jesus had this great plan. He said, "I want you to go out. Don't just stay there." And we don't want to just continue to have something here where no matter where you live, no matter how many hours away you live, you've got to come to us because this is where the gospel's preached. That's not exactly what God... We need to go... We need to bring the gospel out. Amen? And so there's a couple of stages to this plan. We're going to build a 1,000-seat auditorium here because there's all kinds of people living in St. Louis, right? Amen. And we're also going to be planning satellite congregations so that we can bring... Because here's the truth. We're family. We don't mind driving an hour to go see family every week. Some of you drive an hour, some more. But your neighbors are thinking, "Hey, how far is the church you want me to go with you?" An hour, huh? That's a little more difficult. But we need to bring the gospel. And so we're going to have a satellite congregation that'll take care of like downtown St. Louis and be closer to the river for all the people in Illinois that come. And we want to plant more, but we have a 2-year plan to raise the money to be able to plant 2 satellite congregations and build this auditorium. And so that's reach. Reach up. And next week we're going to be talking about, what does that mean for me? How do I now react? How do I act knowing that who I am, having a better idea? And so over the next 2 years, we're going to raise $1.5 million.
Amen.
Amen? You're going to raise $1.5 million. Just, you know, nobody's leaving the room until we've known. So we're going to do it because, you know, somebody told me once, you know how much ministry you can do for $100? About $100 worth. You know how much ministry you can do with $1.5 million? Man, you can bring the gospel over there. You can bring the gospel over there. And so these are numbers that we've come up with. Who knows what God wants to do? But we're going to do it. And so we're going to have some, as we close up here, some meetings this week. Some of you have already come to one. We're going to have what we're calling them epic events, because what we're doing is epic, because God is epic. So on Tuesday night, for the members, we're going to have an epic event here for everybody who's aged 35 to 49. Right? On Wednesday night, 50 plus. I'm really looking forward to that one. It's going to be my favorite one, I can tell. Thursday is going to be the pulse age, 18 to 34. And then Friday night is teens and campus. All right? So we're going to sit down. We're going to dream. We're going to plan. We're going to dig into the scriptures, and we're going to pray. Because if anything happens over the next 2 years that really affects who we are and how we operate, we're going to be praying a whole lot more. Not just about money and initiatives, but about everything. We want to bathe everything in prayer. Amen? So let's end with that. Let's go ahead and stand up. Father in heaven, we're excited to be your children, to be rescued. And no matter where we are today, no matter how we walked in, I loved Matthew and Samara's introduction. Whatever we're thinking, whatever's going on in our heads, we want to be fully present now. When we participate in this REACH initiative, we want to be fully present. This is where we all participate because it's your plan. It's not about equal gifts because you've blessed us all differently. But it is about equal sacrifice. And so, Father, as we reach up, in a sense, right now, we know the reality is you're all amongst us right now. That your spirit is moving. And God, we want to open up our hearts. We want to remember who we are. We want to remember who you are, the Creator God. Thank you for forgiving. Thank you for forgetting. Thank you for your strength, for your grace, for your power, your might. Where would we be without it? All of these things are so true. They're right in front of our nose. And yet tomorrow morning, we'll forget. So help us to put into practice exactly what you commanded Moses to tell the people. When we wake up, we think about you. We pray about and talk about you when we walk down the road, when we're with our family, when we're with our kids, when we go to bed at night, that we are constantly reminding ourselves who we are by reminding ourselves of who you are. We want to fight temptation. We want to smash down the Asher poles and burn them to dust. Thank you for being our God and for inspiring us and strengthening us. We give all this to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.